Question of the day. Do you snap with your middle finger? Or do you snap with your...
Why is your ring finger not an option?
Because I haven't seen that done. Oh, okay.
And well, now she's seen it
done. I've seen it done. Do you snap with also your pinky?
I've never seen index finger.
My cousin snaps like this.
Well, I haven't seen it.
It's the weirdest thing.
All right. Well, getting into our life.
Well, welcome back, guys.
To another episode.
Yeah, the PT assistants.
Perfect.
Today we are going to be discussing the upcoming changes within our lives, some life updates, and all that jazz. I don't know. Anything else you want to add?
Or should we just jump in? But as we did that intro, just a complete side note, I saw Wayne Brady. Mm-hmm. I think you saw him too. I'm not sure. I can't remember if you were there or not.
We were both there.
Oh, okay. We should try the one word thing and see what happens. In due time. We'll practice. Enjoy this episode. Goodbye.
All right, let's go, guys.
The PTA Podcast with your hosts, Ken.
And Laura. Thanks again for joining for another exciting episode. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it today.
Let's jump right in. Just like Laura mentioned in the intro, we're going to be talking about...
We are going to be talking about setting up a new clinic. So... Ken currently is in the process of working with one of the PTs we've currently worked with on setting up a new PT clinic. You're not technically an owner, but you are starting out fresh with this clinic, correct?
Yes, I am.
So, kind of what's entail? What do you like the process? Do you not like the process? What was your mind thought of going through of let me leave kind of the secure job that I had to go and go with a startup?
Well, to be quite honest, I went back and forth for quite some time.
Well, what made you decide?
Because, like you said, it was a startup versus something that was very well established. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, I don't really know much of what goes on, but I saw a new opportunity and I decided to go for it.
Now, this isn't technically your first clinic that you will be working at from day one. You kind of previously know a little bit what to expect, correct?
As far as a brand new practice, it's new. As far as a brand new clinic, no. So when you first open a clinic, it's nothing but marketing, which is oodles and oodles of fun.
Hey, there's some good drinks sometimes.
Some good what?
Drinks.
I mean, there are some pros and cons. The flexibility is nice. Mm-hmm. But going into random offices and just trying to spark up conversation is hit or miss. And this was prior to COVID. I don't even know what it's like now with all this COVID stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't really know if out here we have too much. I honestly feel like some of the doctor offices used COVID to get the marketers out.
I wouldn't doubt it. I'm not going to lie. I think it was kind of like a deterrent to I don't want anybody else besides patients.
Still, and you're like, what? Huh?
Okay. You have no signs outside. No. We're still following protocols. I'm like, sure.
Yeah. But you're currently going in and you're helping build things and getting set up, but was it scary to make that choice? What was some of the things that really factored into you choosing? What suggestion would you have for others who either want to kind of go out on their own or venture off with someone in a new startup? Because like we said, you're not an owner in this. You don't really have much stake personally or financially in it as of right now, but it is a risk. It is a risk to go to a completely brand new practice that has not been set within, the city or something like that.
I think it's just in Vegas in general, it's so saturated. And that's what I keep hearing, that there's so many PT clinics here in town, which, just driving around is very true. I think just the opportunity to be at something from the get-go, from the beginning of it, is probably what enticed me the most. And just kind of see what I can do to take it as far as I can. I think if it's not, hopefully it is successful, but the other side, doing the whole devil's advocate, if it's not, then at that point I just look for something different. It just wasn't meant to be. Anyways, when you first start, when you first open a clinic, even if it's already established as far as like the practice itself and opening up a new clinic, the first couple weeks is nothing but still set up. It's figuring out little things that you still need, whether it's timers, it's still going to be an outpatient ortho sports rehab type of clinic. Mm-hmm. So the patient population that I'll be seeing is fairly similar, but it's just finding the little things that you'll still need. I'll probably still go out and market because we're just not going to have the patients to start with. So I'll probably just go out and start building relationships again.
Yeah. And have you heard of it being common to kind of start off with a PTA already in the clinic? Because I feel like most I've heard they start with a PT and then they gradually, as they grow, add a PTA in it.
I think it depends. Okay. Just because if you're the only PT, you have to be in the clinic. You can't do evals if you're not there. So ideally, you want to start with two PTs. Mm-hmm. Or you can do one PT, one PTA, as long as the PTA here in Vegas has their 2,000 hours, or Nevada anyways. Then the PT just comes back to do their evals. And as long as you stay within your
scope,
they're still reachable. They can continue to go out market and only come back for evaluations.
Which is a valid point, because I didn't even think about that. Like, I would be like, in my head, it's like, why are they even really hiring a PTA right off the bat? You have a PT who technically can do everything. But marketing out here, at least in Vegas, is such a big factor on how to get patients in, that it makes sense to hire a PTA, because then if the PT's not needed there on site, they can go out and get their face out there. And like we know with most things, the more you make it personalized and the doctors like know who you are and who they're sending their patients to, you know, they have a better usually like trust. Interesting, since we just talked about trust with patients, you know, they have a better trust with doctors. Tune into the episode last week. Yeah. Plug. but I find it fascinating, just the whole process, because you are currently technically not working yet. Because you gave your 2 weeks notice. Actually, you gave them more than that, correct?
I did.
And then the clinic wasn't ready. And correct. That was just no one's fault. It was just construction stuff. And that usually happens. But now you're kind of in there and you're helping build things. And
getting it set up, get the layout all kind of how we want it. Make sure the feng shui is right, because it's extremely important.
Oh, is it now?
It is. Because if you walk in and the feng shui is off, obviously you're just going to leave.
So what's your feng shui then?
Some kind of neutral, more towards like the energetic side.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what feng shui is, but no. You asked me what mine was and I really didn't know how to answer that.
What are the things you're looking forward to, you know, having this new opportunity and this new start in a weird way?
I think it's just kind of taking it from the beginning and just growing it to where it can go. I think for me personally, I don't want PTA to be the end of it. I still want to practice. I don't necessarily want to go to the PT program, get a DPT. Mm-hmm. Just because at this point, I don't really think it's worth it for me personally. But for all those who are doing it, more power to you.
Yeah, it's there. I feel like there's no wrong or right answer on whether or not you should move on or if you want to stay behind. I think it's just based off of how what you like to do.
But I think the realization for PTA is it's like there's only so far you can go, and there is a ceiling, unfortunately. And unless you go back to school, that's as hard. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Once I kind of thought about that, going into this business and starting new, I am hoping that it opened up more doors. So I can be more than just a PTA. Mm-hmm. And just kind of see where that takes me.
Kind of further your career. And like, you have a really good relationship, of course, with, well,
the owner now. Yeah.
And so it's kind of nice because you can have that closer relationship. And what we talked about, you were even interested in furthering on that proficiency path too.
Oh, yeah. Which I did talk to them about, actually.
Oh, tell me. I did.
So I just kind of brought up the advanced proficiency pathways because you do need a PT to sign off on it. Mm-hmm. And they both agreed to it.
They didn't pay for it?
We didn't get that far into details, but I would hope so. They just had, they both have a lot of ortho experience. I think one has more than the other, but they agreed to be my mentor through the program and go from there.
That's awesome. So are you going to apply for the next round then?
I'm going to try for next year. That'd just out of curiosity, really.
Yeah.
I don't really know if it's going to result in higher pay or more, like, I guess more avenues. It's just going to be a cert that I have, essentially. Maybe I'll just learn a thing or two and at least better help patients that we get, as long as we get that same population.
Yeah.
And go from there, but
I do feel like if you kind of have a real good company, and honestly some of the smaller companies too, like, it does make it a little bit easier to progress in the career. Like, we personally have both known PTAs who have moved into clinical director positions. We've known ones who have moved into, you know, operational management. So, like, I feel like there's still ways to go up, but it's hard in this field because not every PT is okay being overseen by PTAs. And it's not that we're overseeing their treatments. It's more of the day-to-day operations of, like, making sure billing's done correctly and making sure that the schedule's being ran correctly, the clinics are kept clean, like, those day-to-day operations. So it is tough, but I feel like sometimes by taking these leap of faith, you have those opportunities to grow a little bit more.
And I actually mentioned it earlier on before I even started, as far as future opportunities into management and kind of more responsibilities in a way, just to, same thing, progress. Just because I don't really want to feel like I'm stuck. And if I feel like, even if I get stuck here, then I'll probably end up leaving and go somewhere else, to be honest. Because I feel like if I'm not growing or if I'm not bettering myself in one way or another, then I might as well try somewhere that, whether it's a different setting, going into inpatient, going into a specialty clinic, but something to kind of keep me engaged and learning more is kind of the thought behind it.
That'd be nice. So what are you looking forward to most at this new clinic?
To start off with, probably a slower start. Give my hands a break. At this point, I think my hands are just tired. So this little vacay I had definitely feels refreshing. But I'm sure that once I start working on people again, I'm like, oh, I'm sore. My legs, my hands hurt.
You're like, in your back. Hey, yep. I swear I have like man hands, like muscle-wise. Like, they're just insane.
It was funny because I've had like my classmates tell me after not seeing them for a bit, working and then seeing them again. And like, I'll kind of like grab their neck and then they're just like, holy crap, like what just happened to your hands? I'm like, I don't know. I've been working on people. They're like, that hurts. Like your hands, like your intrinsic muscles got stronger. I'm like, yeah, I don't doubt it.
You're like, no doubt there. Like my forearms rip.
That's very true.
I will say, like, I always go in and get a massage and they're like, I could spend all day on your forearms alone. And I'm like, that's great. But you know, can you work on
it? Everything hurts. Everything. But I think that slower start, kind of working my way back into it, because I think that's what I liked about when we first opened our last clinic, was you got to ease into it and realizing the things that you still need as you get going. Mm-hmm. If you hit the ground running, that's great, but you'll feel like you're just trying to catch up the entire time.
Yeah, and I feel like the nice part about easing into it, too, is like you have the opportunity to learn more, too. Like either learn from the PT that you're working under or with, or even taking time to research more often, more stuff, and expand your knowledge on maybe some new exercises, new techniques that are out there that if you're at a super fast clinic all the time, you might be too exhausted to do.
And I think we ran into that a couple times where we just didn't have the opportunity to learn because it was just too busy.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to find a setting where you have the opportunity to learn more just helps you in the long run in every way.
Yeah. And it's not that, you know, some people don't like to be slow, and that's fine. That's why the faster clinics are great for them. And some people do not like to be in a fast-paced clinic, and that's fine. That's why slower clinics are great for them. And so you don't have to. I feel like you can find your niche in a way. You just might have to do a little bit of trial and error, which I feel like sometimes can be hard because I don't know about you, but like me growing up, you know, I was kind of taught like you go to a job and you stay at the job. Like you don't bounce around. And so like if you don't like it, suck it up. You've got a job and be grateful you have that job, which I feel like it's different now. Culturized. It's like if that doesn't fit you, then
you try something else.
And it's not frowned upon as much in a way, but.
And I don't know if you mentioned it to me and I read more into it. The post on by not just the PTA, shout out to to her. But she posted as far as you can go read her entire post on her Instagram. Let her know we sent you. But
she's great, by the way. Follow. Don't forget to follow her.
She talked a lot about advocating for yourself, advocating for pay and not taking something because it's easy.
Yeah, especially she had a great post on that.
So kind of reading her post, I felt it kind of where I'm at now because it really became the one of the things that I don't like about. I mean, it's just kind of just comes down to business and like I get it. But being told you get paid too much.
Right.
And then all of a sudden having all this extra money to pay you once you're leaving really struck a nerve.
Yeah, it's almost like, hey, we can't pay you more, but then you're like, oh, I'm gonna go somewhere else, and they're like, oh wait, we just found an extra like $5 a month, and you're like, I know I'm worth that money. Like, inflation's happening,
cost of living is going up, gas is insane,
like we're already low end pay for our profession in a way, some in certain areas. So it's like, pay me what I deserve. And I think part of that is we need to stand up for that. And we need to value our own self-worth. Like, if someone comes in and they're like, you know, if they can pay someone $15 and they're not going to complain about it, then yeah, of course they're going to give the job person the job to the person who's going to do the $15 versus the person who's asking $20. But that's because of the fact that we're not standing up for ourselves and being like, no, we all deserve this amount sometimes.
So it just comes down to like, it does. I mean, it just kind of comes down to like knowing your worth and trying not to settle. Some people, I think, just kind of jump at the first opportunity and like, oh, cool, I'll take it.
Definitely when you're a new grad.
And that's the hard part when you're a new grad.
Yeah.
And I think she mentioned it as well, that it's harder for new grads because you don't really know where you land at first. But once you start getting your footing, start understanding a lot more of the field and pay and comparing to other places, then you'll find somewhere hopefully that you're happy and that you're getting paid what you want to get paid. So I feel like me jumping this, transitioning from where I was to where I'm going, my pay changed and the job ultimately sounded better to me.
Yeah, the overall setup and
with the potential to grow more, which is also what I want.
Yeah.
So I just checked out more boxes. I still have that risk of going into something that might not be successful. Again, I hope it is, but it's just, if it's not, then I just have to find something else, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it's worth the risk. I think some of the benefits that can come along with it, and I've gotten to watch a lot of your process going through this. I personally haven't gone through, but watching you, it's like, it's fun to watch you get excited about it because they're also, which is great, coming to you and being like, hey, what do you think of this as an employee, like, setup? What do you think about this as for vacation time? Like, they're really valuing your opinion on, you know, how to properly give people what they need for benefits, like vacation, sick pay, days off, like, all that kind of stuff, which is great because, you know, you're not asking unrealistic things, but you're also at the same time setting it up better for those who are going to come to follow too.
It's just like the best way to advocate for yourself. Like, I want this, I want that. And given those things, like, it just feels so much better because it's like, oh, I know what I'm worth. Okay, here you go.
And it feels like you, I think you've said it, but you feel like you're more involved with the company too because they value you. You value the benefit that's going to be like the success, I should say, not the benefit, but the success of the company too, because of the fact that you feel like you're actually were getting paid worth what you need. So it's not like, well, if this fails, no big deal, I'll just go somewhere else, because, you know, the pay and everything will be exactly the same. Where here you're like, well, I feel like I'm getting such a good benefits and deal, and I feel like I'm valued and I'm actually getting paid what I'm worth. Like, I want this to succeed and I'm willing to put more of your effort into it. If that makes sense.
Like, yeah, there's definitely more incentives for me to want to be more involved.
Yeah. Versus it just being a job.
Exactly. I know things were changing previously, but I think just from where I'm going now is just I have more reasons to work harder. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that pays off. We're gonna see how it goes, but that's my new venture.
I know, you excited? When officially is it opening?
It is opening on Tuesday, July 5th.
Oh, so right after 4th of July.
So this past Tuesday. Yeah. We've been open for a week now.
July 5th. Correct. Oh, well, I was about to say when this release. We recorded this on July 1st. I was actually going to mention that. That's why I was getting so confused. I was like, what? Yes. So it did just open. And maybe what we'll do is we'll have Ken post some stuff to the Instagram that day. Maybe. We'll see. He might have some free time.
Any updates with your foot?
With my foot, there is some new updates. I, like we talked about, I went to PT, no benefit, was just making it more sore, talked to the doc finally. We got scheduled again for an MRI, so I'm scheduled for an MRI July 14th. I also am getting an MRI done on my ankle and my foot.
Is there anything you're expecting out of those? Like, you personally, do you feel like structural changes happened?
Oh yeah, I'm expecting it to look like a hot mess. So interesting thing is I looked at the x-ray and just comparing my x-rays pre-surgical, like any surgery at all, to like now, like the bone itself looks bony.
I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to look like?
I know, but like jagged, like there's some areas that look like I got some peaks going on.
I was really confused by that. I need to like look up what an actual foot looks like to know what's wrong with your foot.
It just looks different. Like, it just looks structurally different. Like,
in a weird way. It looks like sharper where there's like mountain peaks where there shouldn't be mountain peaks.
Yeah, there really shouldn't.
Like, it's like, oh, smooth, 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 and then jagged. Yeah. And then smooth, smooth, smooth. I'm like, okay, is that jaggedness supposed to be there?
Well, and the question too, like I have, is it just showing jaggedness because is that where like the anchors kind of are? And so the bone isn't as dense there. I don't know. So like, I don't know either. So the MRI, I feel like will be, I haven't had an MRI at all since.
Wait, ever?
Hold on. I said since.
I know. You just said I haven't had an MRI and you had a weird pause.
Well, I was trying to think of when it was. Since after my first surgery. And then that's when they deemed that I was having a reaction to the sutures and they had to go back in. So based off of what I talked with this doctor is it still sounds like I'm having an issue with the anchors. Now I've done some reading up on anchors. There's not a lot honestly on them. There's ones that are permanent and they just stay in there. He made it sound like I should have ones that are dissolvable. And based off of what I read, some of the ones that are dissolvable are supposed to dissolve within 4 to 6 months. And if that's the case, I'm way over that time frame.
Yeah.
Some I also said up to 2 years. I mean, you're
slightly over, but...
Yeah. Slightly?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I'm literally reaching the 2 year mark for the second surgery. Like I said,
slightly over.
So some I've also seen up to 2 years, or within the first 2 years, it says. So it'll be interesting to see. I can pinpoint exactly where my pain is. Like, I can feel exactly where it pulls. I could, like, literally, like, I felt like if I took, like, a little needle, I could poke into it and find those, like, little fine spots. Which technically I've had a needle in those little fine spots. Not so fun. So I don't really know what to expect. I'm really hoping to get answers, even if it's just something of like, this is what's going on. It's taking you longer. Give it a year or two more, and then that pain should start to decrease, or, you know, with the dissolving of them, they should start to really go away. My biggest fear is him having to say, you have to go back under. I've looked into things, and if it is the anchors, there are ways to go around it with the removal of the anchors and kind of reattaching it. It was a really weird process. It was kind of fascinating. But
either way, you have to go back under.
Yes, but I'd have to, that would be the third surgery on my foot. So I don't know what to expect, and I think that's a scary thing. I just right now am fingers crossed that the MRI is approved by insurance, and we can get
that going. Oh, the fun stuff.
Yeah, but
the insurance game.
On a side note, I don't think I mentioned this. So the reason I'm getting an MRI of my foot.
Wait, do I know this?
We talked about it when it first happened. I ride a bike out here at home because.
Oh my gosh. This is so. Before we dive into this, if you listen to our last episode, we talked about how Laura has significantly more life experiences than I do, which skews our episodes sometimes, and she talks a lot more than I do. And it's because Laura's been through some, you know, if you know what I mean. So with that, Laura, why are you getting another MRI, or why are you getting an MRI of your foot?
So it's my right foot. When I was getting onto the bike, because I can bike easily or much easier with like less pain, but I was getting my foot into the pedal, and, as I was like kind of shoving my foot in, I like extended my toe too far, felt a pop.
She's
and I rode so because I was like, prone. Oh, no big deal. Like I rode and then I got off and I couldn't walk on my toe. And it still has quite a good amount of pain with extension, like with push off. If I push off pretty strong, like I can feel it. And the funny thing is I literally called Ken that night and I was like, yeah, I think I gave myself turf toe.
And I was just like, how in the world? And she just told me, oh, I just got on my bike and
this it just happened. This is what I did. And this is exactly where my pain is. Everything fits turf toe.
So this is a perfect example of. Why Laura talks more than I do.
So when I told the doctor when we last spoke via FaceTime, because that's a great thing, is sometimes I don't have to go into his office. But I told him what happened, and legit, he goes, oh, sounds like you have turf toe. I want an MRI of your toe now, too. Which I was asking him, I was like, does it have anything to do, because I don't have my flexor hallucis longus attached to my toe anymore. And so I'm like, is this something that is more common prone. Because of the fact that you kind of don't have the same amount of tension on that big toe. And I was like, interesting. Just a little side note, but yeah, I'm supposed to get an MRI on that too. That one we think insurance will deny because I haven't had an x-ray or anything on that big toe yet. So we think they'll just deny that. Who knows?
Well, this is full circle on why our episodes go the way that they do. Anyways, so we'll keep it nice and shorter for our little life updates.
Yeah.
We'll be sure to provide another one in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be asking Ken a lot more.
As we get things started, I'm sure.
Startup. He is truly excited, guys.
If you can't tell. this is what I sound like all the time. It's nothing personal, really. I have one tone and that's it.
You have like different tones.
I mean, it just maybe like it goes up and down a little bit, but it stays in this narrow window, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I would about to say, like, I don't know if I'd really want you teaching me an hour-long class.
Probably not. I don't think anybody would. Unless you're trying to go to sleep, then I got you.
Someone's like, yeah, I put these on to fall asleep. And then I hear Laura's voice and I turn it off.
And just like disrupted sleep at that point.
That's so true.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Follow us on our social medias, Instagram, Twitter, join the Facebook group. We have several YouTube videos up online. Be sure to check those out. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to share. It's doing so good. Be sure to share this with your friends, families, coworkers, classmates, teachers, strangers. Why not?
Right.
And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, and then don't forget to leave us feedback. That is always helpful. And this way we can make the content that you guys want to hear. Because ultimately, like we've talked about before, we really want to make this for the PTA community. And if you guys aren't telling us that you want to hear something else, we're not going to be able to do it. So
we'll just keep shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
And if it hits, cool. If it doesn't, then, well, we'll just assume it wasn't good. I don't know.
But we do thank you guys all for listening and showing up. But we will talk to you next time.
Take care.
Bye.
The information in this video or podcast is not intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained in this video or podcast, is for general information purposes only and does not replace your professor's or a consultation from your own doctor or healthcare professional.